True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Donald Trump's tariffs struck down. Basically, that's his economic policy. Gone. At least under the statute he was using.
And says essentially that this IEEPA, this law that grants the president emergency powers, did not, it looks like by this first blush reading by the Chief Justice here, does not give him the power to levy these tariffs that he's levied. The part of this initial opinion says the words regulate and importation, the president says that gives him the independent power to impose tariffs on imports from any country, any product, any rate, any time. These words, it says, cannot bear such weight. But it looks like what the primary holding is going to be is that these tariffs cannot be used in the way that the president had tried to use them. The president asserts the extraordinary power to unilaterally impose tariffs of unlimited amount, duration, and scope. In light of the breadth, history, and constitutional context of that asserted authority, he must identify clear congressional authorization to exercise it, meaning if he wants to do it, he's got to show that Congress has allowed him to do it. But they say IEEPA, this emergency powers law, contains no reference to tariffs or duties. The government points to no statute in which Congress used the word regulate to authorize taxation. And until now, no president has ever read IEEPA to confer such powers. We claim no special competence in matters of economics or foreign affairs, but we claim only, as we must, the limited role assigned to us by Article 3 of the Constitution. Fulfilling that role, we hold that IEEPA does not authorize the president to impose tariffs.
This was a case where the administration was at a disadvantage. IEEPA does not refer to tariffs, and tariffs are a big deal under the Constitution. It's a critical form of revenue that is left to Congress. And I thought that the administration did a terrific job in front of the Supreme Court. They could not have argued this case better, in my view. But you can't really escape that language. And right out of the bat, when that oral argument began, the Chief Justice John Roberts said, "This is a tax." And you could almost hear the administration gulping, because that's not what they wanted the justices to take from their argument. But Roberts and others clearly view this as a tax that rests with Congress. Now, there's a lot of runway still for the administration. The administration has other tools in its toolbox. It can actually impose tariffs under other statutes. So this night is hardly over for the administration when it comes to tariffs.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the whole tariff regime that Trump has done has been under IEEPA, making a whole year's worth of economic work null and void. And I'll admit, it's kind of embarrassing. For instance, right now, Europe's in the process of, considering those tariffs. This will scuttle the whole thing. But even worse than that is Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice, points out there will be billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of refunds that need to be made here. The lawsuits will go on for years. Now, Jonathan Turley said, well, you know, look, Congress could clean this up right now if they want to. They could just turn around and give Trump explicitly this ability. But, I mean, Congress isn't even willing to stop the Democrats from stealing elections with the SAVE Act. They're not even willing with the SAVE Act to guarantee illegal immigrants aren't voting in elections, even though 15 states are literally not only handing them driver's licenses, but automatically signing them up to vote in federal elections in violation of the law. And Republicans in the Senate look at that and go, fine with us. We're not passing a damn thing. So Trump's not getting tariff authority from Congress. In fact, Trump's not getting anything from the Senate. They're trying to run the timeout to help the Democrats as much as possible because the Republican leadership over there is, quite frankly, evil. So, and quite frankly, has more in common with the Democrats than it does with the House, the Republicans who are elected there, or Donald Trump, or really half the country that voted for him. Am I terribly upset about this? I got to be honest, at first blush, no. The only real hope that we have in this country of becoming economically competitive again is energy and unleashing energy and cutting regulation. That'll get us a lot further, a lot faster than the tariffs will. And in some ways, I kind of felt like Trump was a little too distracted by the tariffs. Yes, you can really keep them from taking advantage of us, but you can only take so much advantage of us if we can compete with places like India and China because we have our energy production ability back. Quite frankly, the thing I'm most excited about in the big, beautiful bill is the 100% instantaneous expensing of new factories. That alone is going to tip companies into building here. But again, as Jonathan Turley said, the way forward here may rely on other different statutes. This is the only one Trump can use to claim tariff authority. Insane thing number four, $175 billion borrowed and printed dollars spent defending Euroweenies from Russia in Ukraine over the last 5 years. Over those same 5 years, America has stationed roughly 80,000 to 100,000 U.S. service members in Europe to protect the lame Euroweenie's asses. The Pentagon doesn't specifically publish what we spend on our bases in Europe, but we know the entire bill for our bases around the world, like outside of the U.S., is $66 billion. Here's what Grok says. Europe hosts a large share of these bases. So this is in addition to the cost for the troops. Using rough estimates, Grok calculates the annual total just for the bases at between $20 and $50 billion a year, depending on what you include. So again, that's in addition to the $175 billion defending Europe from Russian aggression in Ukraine, which was thought the argument they made to us was, hey, if they take Ukraine, then the other NATO countries will be next. After all of that, we're finding out what chumps these Euroweenies actually think that we are. All Trump has asked for, and it went downhill fast. Hey, can we keep sharing intelligence on these drug boats in the Caribbean? Starmer, the prime minister, said, screw you. All we want is the intel. They don't have to lift a single little Euroweenie finger. Nope, you can't have any intelligence. Cool. Well, we kind of bombed Russia inside of Russia, risking thermonuclear annihilation. Can we sit down and talk about a more permanent agreement for Greenland? No. Screw you. All right. Well, how about the base we pay to jointly maintain on Mauritius with the Brits? How about that? Can we use that? And the reason, by the way, we're paying for that was so that we could protect them. But you know, we're paying for that. Hey, can we use that, to get Iran? No, screw you. What about the Royal Air Force Base? You know, the one where we have all our bombers parked? Should we ever have to defend you? No, screw you. None of this stuff costs them anything, folks, but you got to understand who they are, okay? Because this has really revealed who our enemies and our allies actually are. Never forget that the entire reason that we need to fly into Iran and finish off the deal, destroying their missile sites and destroying what's left of their nuke sites. And I told you we weren't done, didn't I? I was totally right about that at the time, is because Joe Biden and the Democrats took the money that had piled up from the sanctions because they continued violating their agreements and wired it to them. So Joe Biden, by the time it was done, would send them more than $100 billion. That's why the nuke program went forward. Barack Obama sent his on pallets of cash. So what do you got here? Well, the actual allies of the Euroweenies are the Democrats, okay? Democrats have different allies and enemies than we do. So what does this mean? The Euroweenies were actually totally fine with the Democrats building up Iran, with the Democrats propping up the mullahs. What's clear here is that that effort was very much wanted to build up Iran, to enslave those poor people to the Islamic dictators, not just by the Democrat Party, but also by the Labor Party and the European leadership. So, folks, think about this for a minute, okay? If you go on Google and you put in Mauritius and you ask Google this simple question, is Mauritius an ally of China? It will return. Yes, it is. The UK just gave them the island with the base on it. Let's follow this through to its natural conclusion. Iran is also an ally of China, as is Mauritius, which now controls the airbase. So the UK is essentially giving our joint airbase to an ally of China, Mauritius, and then doing China's bidding in not allowing us to use it to attack another ally of China, Iran. You know what's crazy about this? China didn't spend a damn dime defending Europe. China has never contributed a single troop to defending Europe. And they sided with China. Now, one thing that you'll notice that's been going on the last couple of months, you've seen people like the leader of Canada, Mark Carney. You've seen France literally beg China for deals. You've seen also Keir Starmer go over there and kiss the ring. What it looks like to me is going on in the background here is China is promising them all kinds of deals. And if they're done China style, the Iranians are going to get screwed over. Don't help the U.S. on Iran, if you, you know, side with us, hey, we're going to get you these deals. And now the Euroweenies are saying, well, Trump's tariffs, that's why we're doing. But no, again, they owe us. We are literally protecting them this moment. I think what they see is that there's no more tens of billions of printed dollars in exchange for nothing incoming. And do you remember when Josh Hawley, the senator, was saying, look, we need to get guarantees we'll be paid back from the Euroweenies. We need, and look, Mitch McConnell, the neocons, the Democrat leadership, Biden, they were never interested in any of that. As soon as that ended, we saw the true face. They're not our allies. But listen to what Secretary of State Marco Rubio said last week. We've been greeted with absolute derision when we've tried to defend our own hemisphere while they make demands of us to defend theirs, even now.
I don't think that the European Union gets to determine what international law is. They certainly don't get to determine is how the United States defends its national security. The United States is under attack from organized criminal narco-terrorists in our hemisphere, and the president is responding in the defense of our country. I do find it interesting that all these countries want us to send, you know, and supply, for example, nuclear-capable Tomahawk missiles to defend Europe. But when the United States positions aircraft carriers in our hemisphere where we live, somehow that's a problem. So I would say that the United States is, and this president has made very clear, his job is to protect the United States from threats against the United States. And that is what he's doing in this operation.
You know what's insane about this? A lot of folks, including on our side, when Trump wanted Greenland one way or another, buy it, take it. And Trump said, we can't rely on the Euroweenies to, you know, let us do what we need to do with Greenland to defend ourselves from the most obvious path of a Russian nuclear tip missile. Everybody said, well, no, we have agreements with them. We've had agreements with Greenland for decades. We've had agreements with NATO for decades. It'll be cool. Why do we need to do anything? Well, we just found out, didn't we? Those agreements aren't worth the paper they're written on. By that, I mean, Trump was right. We need Greenland. We have no idea what these people are capable of. Because right now, what it looks like they're capable of is throwing us aside and our security for China. Folks, Trump said a few months ago, quote, America has always been there for Europe, but I don't know if Europe would be there for America if we needed it. Boy, was he right. And the popular X account, Wall Street Mav, it's a pretty large investment account following, makes an excellent point here. Why are we spending billions of dollars on these bases in Britain, Europe, and Diego Garcia if these countries can block their use when it matters most?
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number three. Do you remember why they call it the clot shot? Yeah, because on the few small rinky-dink social media sites that were still allowing free speech during the height of COVID, you know, when people's employers were telling them get the shot or you lose your job. Yeah, videos began to show up. They were coroners, people embalming bodies. They were having trouble getting the embalming fluid through the bodies because of the size of the clots. And these were clots they'd never seen before. Blood clots are pretty common, especially when people pass away, and they're generally clotted blood. These weren't. They were weird. They were almost alien, if you've ever seen the videos, and there were hundreds of them. Long, white, almost look like thick spaghetti, literally blocking people's veins. The coroners were warning people don't take the shot. Some of them even went so far as to bring in doctors who were horrified. But the FBI was deep inside of Twitter, deep inside of Facebook, and all of those videos were banned, blocked. When RFK tried to warn about the same thing, you'll remember he was listed as one of the 12 worst disinformers by Jen Psaki and the censorship cabal. And he had his social media accounts taken away. Well, you'll never guess what came out this weekend. I subscribe to a site called Newsbreak, and basically they feed lame mainstream media articles at me when this little gem arrived in my inbox. Now, keep in mind, the New York Times, the Washington Post, mainstream media had all debunked the clot idea. What clots? There's no clot. Yeah, there's clots, according to a New England Journal of Medicine study on a collaboration by a bunch of scientists to, quote, solve the mystery of the clots. The actual headline is Mystery of Rare Blood Clots After COVID Vaccines Finally Solved After Years-Long Scientific Quest. This is how they drop it on you. They act like, oh, yeah, no, we always acknowledge that. No big deal. When, no, they did not. And what they say is this. Well, yeah, some of these shots early on did cause these clots. It was just some early on, though. Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca. Yeah, that is early versions. Don't worry. So I pull the study because I want to find out. Oh, by the way, and they spent most of the study congratulating themselves on what awesome people they were and how great they worked together and how this is helping innovate shot technology. Nowhere in the study was there what I was looking for. How many did you kill? How many did they kill? 10? 15? 15,000? I mean, what's early on? Oh, it's rare. Yeah. Well, people also said it was safe. Now we're moving to rare. Folks, someday we're going to get the truth on this shot. We know this for a fact. 34,000 deaths from the shot were reported to VAERS, the CDC's tracking system. And that's just the deaths within 2 days of taking the shot. How many people did they kill? Again, the study, they weren't too interested in figuring it out. Don't worry, they say, it's like totally safe now. They've worked the kinks out. But the study doesn't really provide evidence of what they changed, other than saying mRNA is good. It's not like the early shots. Oh, folks, I wouldn't put it mRNA anything in my arm. Prediction. Next phase. They also said, by the way, it was totally safe for kids. And then a couple months ago, we had a memo leak out from the CDC in which they're admitting, actually it was the FDA, in which they're admitting, well, now I killed at least 10 kids. And that was just part of a small sample. It's probably going to be more. So, folks, eventually we are going to find out, and I think the numbers are going to stun, especially given that typically only 5 to 10% of the adverse effects are actually reported to VAERS, which is why when they do an estimate of how many people in the population had them, they usually multiply it by a factor of 10. So that'd be like 350,000 people? Dear God. See, and this is why they're baby-stepping this. It'd be too shocking if they let it all out at once. Insane thing number three. This is one of the biggest political stories in the country, and almost no one has noticed. About 2 weeks ago now, a Democrat representative from Chicago, Delia Rodriguez, stepped up to the mic, flanked by dozens of Democrat Congress members, and proposed some shocking things. Abolishing ICE, ending all immigration enforcement in the country, inside the interior, ending all deportation. And then the new shocking part, ending the Department of Homeland Security. I had the audio for it is actually on a previous Friday Battleground America podcast. Well, what people don't understand when she says that, housed inside the Department of Homeland Security is Customs and Border Patrol. If you end the Department of Homeland Security, and they said they wanted to take the funding and send it to Democrat cities that had been brutalized by ICE as like reparations, that's total open borders. That's no immigration enforcement. That's if you want to move your ISIS training camp to Kansas, cool. If you want to move, you know, all the Palestinians from the Gaza Strip to Illinois, cool. There's no safeguards. There's no way to remove people. It's Katie bar the door. Folks, this is insanely radical. And it would win us the midterms if somebody on our side would notice and start talking about it. But then that's what you need a war room for. We don't have one. Well, the Democrats, seeing probably to their shock that there was no reaction from us, nobody picked it up, nobody used it as a talking point, they doubled down on it this week. And nobody noticed again. Here's Ilhan Omar talking about the need to abolish ICE, yes, but getting really no pushback on that. We haven't really used it much against them. Moving on to, hey, we'll get rid of all Homeland Security.
There is an easier conversation happening today than, you know, 6-7 years ago when I got to Congress about what we need to do with ICE, which is to abolish it. And there is a lot of conversation about what the dismantlement of the Department of Homeland Security should look like.
No interior enforcement, no exterior enforcement. You know what else Department of Homeland Security does? They house illegals on their way out. So no detention. We're talking about total open borders with an absolute right to stay here as soon as you get here. Why are they saying this? Why are they taking this risk? Because, folks, we saw that Signal poll a couple weeks ago where if once voters knew that they wanted to abolish ICE and end the Department of Homeland Security, it went from a +4 midterm win for the Democrats to a +2 midterm win for the Republicans, a full 6-point swing. Why are they saying this? Because the more radical things they say, the more fired up their base gets. And midterms are usually turnout competitions. But if you fire up your base too much saying crazy things, you may fire up the opponent's base too. Well, seeing no reaction of any kind to the press conference, well, Ilhan Omar's doubling down, making insane promises. Folks, what does this promise mean? You will never be safe again in your own country, ever.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number two. It started with what seemed like a joke. Steve Doocy at Fox News asked Donald Trump, "Hey, Barack Obama said this week that aliens are real. He knows it for certain. He's just never seen one." Trump responded by saying, "Hey, you know, Obama's not supposed to say that. That's classified." But Trump kind of had a smile on his face, like he was having fun. So people didn't take it too seriously.
"Barack Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?"
"Well, he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that. You know,
so aliens are real?"
"Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
Well,
he made a big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it. I never talk about it. A lot of people do. A lot of people believe it. Do you believe it, Peter?"
"Well, the president can declassify anything that he wants to.
Well,
so if you want to make an
announcement, I may get him out of trouble by declassifying."
"We know illegal aliens are real."
"Yeah, illegal. Only illegals. What else?"
Yeah, well, hours later, Trump put up a Truth Social post. "Based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, UFOs," he said, "and any and all other information connected to these highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters." So, folks, this story is three of the top 10 in the world right now. That's the level of interest, but I wouldn't hold your breath. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know that Congress has voted by law to declassify all of the intelligence on the origins of alien life. No. COVID, twice. Have you seen it? No, no, you have not. We did it once under Biden, signed it, and nothing happened. We did it once under Trump, signed it, and yes, nothing happened. Yeah, and then there was that time that PM Bondi said she was going to put the Epstein files out, invited everybody to the White House, said she had them right there in the corner of her desk. All people got was binders with some Xeroxed articles that everybody'd read before. Even now, there's such a massive brawl going on about the Epstein docs. Bondi, by the way, says she's released them all. She doesn't have any more, but she's said that before. Look, folks, the odds we ever actually see these things, even if Congress voted to declassify them, I'd put him like, I don't know, 15-20%, maybe. What I actually think is going on here is that the growth numbers for the fourth quarter just came out today, and they're crappy. It's like 1.3% GDP growth and inflation up to 3%, which is what happens when you don't have a lot of GDP growth. We need to grow a lot to bury inflation. So a lot of that was because of the government shutdown. But the numbers aren't good. And I think Trump knew everybody would go wild and that's what they would talk about, not that. Now, the quarter before, we were growing at almost 5%. So, I mean, look, I think the Trump plan long term is going to work. But I think that's why he threw that out there, knowing it would dominate the headlines and not the economy. The good news is we should have a better first quarter because all the Democrats have shut down is the Department of Homeland Security, not the whole government. That should help. Insane thing number one on this podcast is usually the big, obvious, insane thing of the week. But I got to go with my heart. To me, this was the most insane thing this week. It's an audio clip that's a year old. It was actually recorded from a liberal podcast in 2024. No one noticed it till now, and it's gone uber viral on X. It's by Democrat Congressmember Gene Wu. He was born in China and unfortunately is here now. You'll understand the unfortunately part when you hear the clip. He's laying out the Democrats' long-term plans with illegals that they're bringing in. And it's exactly what you've always suspected. Democrats fantasizing about an anti-white revolution. He even goes so far in this clip as to call white people the oppressor.
"I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair. But the problem is our communities are divided. They're completely divided.
Lest you think this is just one isolated clip and they don't really talk like this when we're not around. Remember Joe Biden in the last year of the Obama administration when he believed he was going to get the backing of Obama to run? Instead, Hillary would get it. He told us exactly what they were doing. The purpose of Obama flooding the border with massive surges of illegal immigrants was to eliminate a white majority in the country. And he said it would continue.
Not only our Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Listen to that again. The source of our strength is finally eliminating the white majority? A war against a group of people because of the color of their skin?
Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
I'll put the link for this video so you can watch it in the sources for the podcast. It's on C-SPAN, and he's was actually chairing a counterterrorism hearing. Sitting next to him is a guy you'll recognize, Alejandro Mayorkas, who would go on to be his head of the Department of Homeland Security. He's got a creepy little smile on his face because when Biden took office, what Biden just described there is exactly what he did. This is the end game, folks. This is how they talk when we're not around. It's nihilism. It's total destruction. It's complete racism. It's an apartheid system. And you can see why they fight so hard in the streets for it, against ICE agents.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.